You know, one of the examples and analogies that, again, is in your story and that I think Americans get very heated about is this idea of the choice, what people might often say is the most important choice, you know, the choice of a mate, right? And your parents, in fact, were came together through an arranged marriage. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that as a situation that is devoid of choice and control? Or how do you think about choice and control in that context?
So I think, I think, again, the misunderstanding there is that we have conceived of marriage as a paradigm of choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, if you want to ask the question, were they devoid of choice, they were devoid of choice. But they did not conceive of marriage as being a paradigm of choice. For them, marriage was a natural part of the evolving family.
Hmm.
So there's a few things that's happening. First of all, at a certain stage of life, you're supposed to get married. Second, the way you're supposed to get married is in this arranged way. I mean, because you're supposed to make sure that the correct choice is made and that you find somebody that's going to fulfill their duties to you and fulfill the duties of the family, and you want to make sure that you essentially align the resumes so that, you know, everybody can – the collective will in within the collective, harmony will be maintained.
Yeah.
So it's really not a paradigm that's encouraging choice. So it's absolutely correct to say there was no choice. There really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that choice was so valued in that paradigm. You know, mm-hmm. what was valued was simply, you know, well, was the a good husband and a good wife and a good son-in-law and a good daughter-in-law chosen? So there was emphasis on whether the correct one was chosen, and I'll put quotes around the correct, but there wasn't any emphasis on whether this decision required individual choice, because I think it was just considered to be an extension of all family relations. You don't choose your mother, you don't choose your father, you don't choose your siblings. So, well, you know, it wasn't exactly natural to say, well, you need to choose your spouse. Now, in this culture, it's considered to be the most natural, obvious thing that you are supposed to choose your spouse. That this is supposed to be the not only most important relation in your life, but it's supposed to be a relationship truly based on choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, choice and love, right? I mean, the paradigm is love, falling in love, right? As much as it is choice, but. What your work makes me think about.
Well, you're
is,
supposed to be able to marry the person that you are in love with, and
right.
that's coming through the choice.
Yeah.
That's coming through the exercise of personal choice.
Mm-hmm. You know, what your work makes me think of, though, is that there's a sense in which the emphasis on choice, for example, in marriage, maybe kind of gets in the way of how deeply we think about the long-term nature of love and marriage and contentment. Because what I know from friends who also have families in which there's arranged marriage is that, you know, love can follow arranged marriage just as love can disappear in the marriage of choice.
Well, yeah, they have very different consequences to them. If you marry somebody with the understanding – so think of the arranged marriage as this is your fate. Okay? You have been fated to marry X. Okay? Just like you were fated to be the daughter or son of Y. And now that means that this is your fate. You don't have any choice over who they are. You do, by the way, have – you still have choice. Your choice is over how you're going to adjust to this relationship, how you're going to make this relationship work out. And so just like any sort of non-chosen, non-flexible relationship, usually, not always, but usually over time, because you get used to the person, you don't have any choice of getting out of it, you get adjusted to each other. You start appreciating one another for the things they do give you.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, you're not going into it with the expectation of bliss.
Right.
You're going into it with the expectation of some kind of a family partnership. By contrast, and also I'll make one other comment, is that one of the, I think, reasons why arranged marriage, you know, doesn't fail as much as many love marriage participants think it would,
right,
is because you've aligned the resumes. And what that means is you've essentially made sure that two people who speak the same exact language, eat the same exact food, worship the same God, came from, in many cases, the same extended family, mm-hmm. get married.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that they actually don't have to negotiate over many of the big things in life. They don't have to negotiate over how they're going to raise the kids.
Right.
They don't have to negotiate over their values, their religion, et cetera. In a sense, many of the big ticket items have been pre-negotiated or taken care of, such that now really the most important thing they have to negotiate on is what are their daily rituals in terms of their interaction with each other going to be, and can they learn to like each other?
Right.
Those are really the only pressures that are put on them.
It's kind of an example of that freedom that actually comes with some constraint that you were describing a minute ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now you have, by contrast, the love marriage model. Well, now the model here is supposed to be that I fall in love and the heart guides who I fall in love with. And because I love this person and I have found this soulmate, that will help me negotiate the potential problems that might occur from the misalignment of the resumes,
mm-hmm.
right? It's you marry in spite of the incompatibilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so now what happens is that love is supposed to sustain, at the very least, if not grow even stronger over the course of the marriage, while you are at times negotiating over things that you may or may not have thought about before marriage,
mm-hmm.
like religion, like how you're going to raise your kids, on top of the fact that you also have to worry about the natural everyday negotiations over the daily rituals of how you're going to manage house and interact with each other.
Right.
And the demand here is that love, that soulmate-like bond, has to be both maintained as well as grown over the years.
Right.
Given all these potential pressures.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it's a relationship of choice, with choice necessarily comes, for better and for worse, the idea that choices can be undone.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing as fate.
Do you think much about how long have you been married? 13 years, is that right? Or
oh yeah, actually, just yesterday I had my 13th.
Did you? How did I guess that? Okay. So, do you think much about these kinds of things and the difference between your marriage, which was a marriage of choice, and your parents' marriage?
Yes, I do. In fact, sometimes my husband and I talk about it, and we do talk about the fact that because we had, or at least in our minds, our marriage was that of choice, maybe not in the minds of my mother-in-law.
Because she believes that you've been married in previous lifetimes, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. But, you know, we think of our marriage as a marriage of choice. And we do compare it to our parents and recognize that there were real differences between the two. And there were real benefits to the arranged marriage, which we didn't get to cash in on. And there were some benefits to having a love marriage, which it was harder for them to cash in on.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that I do think there's some beauty to the love marriage model in that what love does allow for is it allows for flexibility. It does allow for new conceptions of what the relationship can be and can do, because it allows you to break more rules. So that if you really love someone, you're more willing to forgive them if they don't follow a certain duty or a particular set of rituals. And that can be – that can really help both individuals grow into the best of themselves. On the other hand, an arranged marriage can make life at times a lot easier, because you have fewer things to negotiate over.
Mm-hmm. And that's not really something to underestimate when you're raising a family and juggling all
absolutely
the things people juggle
not
these days. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Uh-huh.